You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Before we get to all of those stories, we kick things off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by senior analyst at Exness, Terence Hove, to take a look at the market movements and try and see if we can make sense of them. Good evening, Terence. Lovely to speak to you. It's been a while. Yesterday, the markets lost their minds when Donald Trump was announced as the president. Today, it seems they found them.
Yeah, good evening, Jimmy. Good to be back. Well, what a time to be in financial markets. I think we can see the roller coaster road that we've been having since Monday going into Tuesday evening time, our time, and yesterday, as you mentioned, you know. And we've seen how the market, I mean, throughout the US, globally, it's been reacting to that. We've seen a lot of reaction in the South African rand, but my goodness, the South African rand has also shown very good resilience, and it's rallied back, to those levels prior to all of this volatility that's been in the market. So, you know, it's been very much a U.S. story. It's been very much a Donald Trump story. I mean, we're seeing it in the dollar index, the S&P 500. The US 100, and including Tesla as well, you know, for the reasons that Elon Musk was instrumental in, you know, Donald Trump's campaign strategy. So very interesting market reactions, but very good to see that our local currency, yeah, it reacted to the move, but, you know, the resilience of the rand, which is what you want to see, you know, the factors that are positive for South Africa reflecting in the price rather than easily susceptible to global shocks and being sustained higher. So good story from the rand in terms of that rally post the Donald Trump election.
You bring up Tesla, Terence, and I found it very interesting that in addition to all of the value that was added back into the markets yesterday, some $1.2 trillion there, around $64 billion was added to the top 10 wealthiest people's personal net worths, with Elon Musk taking home $26.5 billion of that. So $26.5 billion US dollars added back to his net worth following that election result. Talk about a bet going right.
Certainly, you know, and I think this election, you know, is very monumental in terms of all of this data that you mentioned, you know, and in terms of the private sector and how they support certain causes or certain candidates and how that rewards follows through with regards to what the market sentiment is with regards to their particular positioning as well. So very interesting metric to look at. But what's resounding is the overall performance of the market, you know, not just the isolated, stocks or the flow that has gone into the owners of those stocks, but the stock market in general. If we look at the US, everything is in the green. And the outlook is looking very bullish right now. That's what the sentiment is. In the US, and that's creating a very interesting dynamic going into this evening's FOMC, where it will be evening time, our time, because now what does that outlook look like in terms of inflation, for the US Fed? And we saw a very weak jobs number last week, Friday. And I mean, people tried to explain it away, but, you know, would that be revised higher? If it is, by how much? But still, what we're working with is a very low number. So do we get 25? Do they need to do 50? What is the inflation outlook? That's what this interest rate move is going to be as well. You know, in the culmination of everything that's happening around the U.S. Presidential election.
I was just going to say, Terence, we actually aren't done with other data points, and that U.S. Interest rate is such a big one. The other one that we got already earlier today was the Bank of England's interest rate decision. It looks as though it didn't do much for the pound against the rand, but it does give us an idea of how the U.K. is seeing their inflation picture. What do we get from the U.K.'s inflation conversation, and how does it compare to what we're expecting to hear from Jerome Powell in a couple of hours?
Yeah, so this is where the interesting bit comes in, you know, in as far as the rates are concerned, right? So the UK cut by 25 basis points. And, you know, the outlook that they have is it's going to be gradual, you know, as they go into, into future interest rate decisions. So, but now, given the actual outlook of this presidential election and the kind of promises that were made, you know, why you're seeing a lot of this rally going is that now the interest rate path in the U.S. could diverge, you know, with that or the rate at which, you know, we thought cuts were going to be coming in. Maybe they'll be gradual and then they'll stop sooner. So I think the cut, for sure, we were expecting 25 basis points cut. But that press conference with regards to the outlook of where now the U.S. Fed sees inflation and how they see inflation is going to be the longer term play. But I think they've done 25, the Bank of England did 25. They've been slow to cut. The US, it did a jumbo, another 25 today. Now, the question then says, this press conference that US Fed will give us gives us a better positioning for what December might look like. Will they move again in December? That will then be the question. And I think that's what we'll see. But in terms of their interest rates, the Bank of England and the US Fed, yeah, I think the economic outlook of the two economies are starting to diverge, you know, on the back of the sentiment around this election.
Well, to be fair, we did expect a 25 basis point cut at the start of the rate cut cycle, and the US surprised us and gave us 50 basis points. So maybe there is hope for a 50 basis point cut. Not much hope, but I guess we can always live to dream. Terrence, let's take a look at what's happening in Japan. The Nissan company cutting 9,000 jobs and the CEO's salary. The Japanese Nikkei, the only index ending the day in negative territory. What's going on that side of the world?
Yeah, that's a very interesting story. And again, I think it comes out to that rate story of where Japan should have started in their term moving on rates. And, you know, it has been a bit of a toss-up with the market where they were going to move, they didn't move. And when they didn't move, maybe it wasn't sufficient for the market's expectation. So the outlook now for them becomes more bearish with regards to, you know, the Japanese economy. And now if you start seeing big manufacturing companies such as Nissan cutting 9,000 jobs, which is quite a significant figure, coming out of the Japanese market, it's showing you that, look, that outlook is quite bearish on Japan. It's turning bearish at the moment, you know. So I think a lot more stability is needed, you know, from the Japanese story with regards to that policy certainty. And that's the story we're seeing playing out at the moment.
How do they stabilize that policy situation, Terrence? Is it something where you look at a stimulus package? Is it something where some of the problems might need a bit more than that? How do you deal with it if you're Japan, where historically the yen has been somewhat of a safe haven? But as you said, they've also taken too long to act in some instances.
Yeah, I mean, the yen has been a safe haven for the reasons why we're seeing the dollar index rallying, because essentially the safe haven aspect of the flow into a particular jurisdiction is around, you know, money being safe, firstly from inflation, of course, and then capital growth. So, and that comes from the economy with regards to, you know, the market activity is prolonged to be very stable for the foreseeable future. And that's what we're seeing, you know, in that US trade and not so much in Japan at the moment. And so that safe haven aspect of it loses its luster when this economic activity in terms of stimulus, to the market and having moved sooner on that rate story. And I think earlier in the year, end of last year, you know, strategists, you know, were focusing, you know, long yang to be the trade. And that was anticipation with a particular rate path from them. So I think it's really looking at what that path needs to look like to get that interest rate alignment with market activity, because there's a mismatch at the moment. So I think that that's where the work would be, really.
I wonder if that carry trade unwinding had anything to do with what's happening in Japan now. We'll have to circle back to that conversation at another time. Thank you so much, Terence, for the insights and for the time as always. It's Terence Hove, Senior Market Analyst at XNES, on the market movements, what's possibly driving some of these movements at the moment, and some data that's still to come out.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.